Well, good morning. And it's a joy to welcome all of you to our service this morning in Railway Street Presbyterian Church. We welcome those who are present in our building. We welcome those who are watching or listening at home or wherever you're on holiday at the present time. It's a joy to have you with us today for what is our Ghana Home family service, following on from a wonderful few days that our young folks have been enjoying. And if you are visiting with us today in Railway Street, then could I extend to you a very special welcome. Things are still very different in church. In churches, we have been required to take even more stringent measures than many other places. And that has had an impact on how we do church, and not always in a positive way. But I trust that you've been made to feel welcome and that you'll feel very much at home with us during our service today. Immediately following our service, we are having a barbecue. There will be instructions given to you about how that will work at the end of the service. It's really important that you listen and you follow those instructions to the letter, just for everybody's safety, folks. But it's not often that we have a barbecue in Railway Street and we're pretty sure the weather is going to be good, and the weather is glorious today for that. So that's following after our service. Could I say a sincere word of thanks to all the leaders who have been involved in our Ghana Home Youth Program during this week? And I know that a good time has been had. I know that because our children in the manse have been very much involved with that, and I thoroughly enjoyed all the activities and what glorious weather they've been able to have as well. I want to say thanks to Stephen Woods for coordinating that program and for putting together our service today. This is the last service that Stephen will be conducting in his current role as our youth and family worker. And don't envisage it being the last service where Stephen will be speaking in Railway Street. Far from it. But it's the last service that he's going to be taking today in our current role. And Stephen's term runs out at the end of August, but I know he's going to be taking most of August for holiday, for rest and preparation for the beginning of his training at Union College in September. And we will be acknowledging Stephen's contribution to our congregation at a later date at the end of our summer, and you'll hear some more details about that in the coming weeks. We're still looking for a couple of volunteers, folks, for Beginners and Kids Church on the 8th and the 29th of August. The 8th and the 29th of August. If you could help with that, speak to Nikki, and it would really help to relax Nikki today to know that she has those two dates covered. So that's the 8th and the 29th of August. Last week, as we were looking at Judges, we were thinking about interludes and about giving thanks to God for interludes and for peaceful interludes. My time for interlude has arrived. I'm on leave from this afternoon until the 22nd of August, folks. If you need the services of a minister in an emergency, then contact Heidi, and if necessary, she'll be able to get you in contact with a minister who's on call while I'm away. So let me say to you, folks, keep safe and try and stay out of trouble while I'm away, please. We're here to worship God together, so let's come before our God together. Let's pray. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Amen. I was visiting with a lady in the congregation this week, a lady. Let's just say she's well on in years, suffering from increasing frailty, anxious about what's happening in the world. And yet what really marked that lady was she was filled with the joy of the Lord. The scriptures tell us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's so good in good times and bad times to know that we can have that joy in the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 72, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. And blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with your glory." We're going to praise that God together. We have to do that of necessity through our masks and visors. But we do ask you, if you're comfortable and happy to stand. And we're going to sing a song where we're just doing that. We're seeking to praise and bless the name of the Lord in the good times, but also in the hard times, and the knowledge that, especially in those hard times, God is present with us. So we're going to join together to sing Blessed.
My name's Stephen. For those of you who are new here, I'm the person who has probably been emailing you constantly to tell your children to wear sun cream. But we've just finished our Ghana Home program. We've just finished a few class days of lots of fun activities for our young people. And can I just say to the parents out there who sent your kids, we have absolutely loved having them with us. They've been great. To the kids that have joined with us, you've been fantastic. Our leaders have loved getting to know each and every one of you. We've had some great banter with all of you. And honestly, I haven't seen our leaders as buzzing as this since we came home from Ganaway 2 years ago. So thank you so much for joining with us. And lastly, to the leaders, a huge, huge thank you to all of the leaders who let this happen, who enabled us to do everything that we have done. To the church, you should be really, really encouraged, because I only noticed this on Thursday, but all of our leaders this week — parents, you might not want to hear this — but all of our leaders this week were under 30 years old. Isn't that promising? Isn't that such great news for the future of this church, that all of our leaders to this program were under 30 years old? What a bright future we have. So as I said, we've just got home from some great experiences. Every morning, your young people met together in Brownlee Primary School playground. They dandered round to Second Avenue Cafe and got their free breakfast as they came to join us. And then we spent the morning playing games, and then we had what we call at Ganaway our beacon sessions. Those are our Bible studies and our small groups that we do together. They're called beacon sessions because we meet at the beacon in Ganaway, and we just carried that name right through. So we had a great time in those sessions that you'll hear a bit about later. Then on the Wednesday night, we had Nerf Wars. If you don't know what a Nerf gun is, it's like a little gun that shoots out foam bullets. And we all wore Velcro vests, and whoever it stuck to was out. And it was really good fun. It was really sweaty and really warm, but it was really, really good fun. And just outside in the car park, we had some Hungry Hippos, which was this giant inflatable bouncy castle that essentially took up a third of our car park. And we just had some fun there. It was great. That was a really good night to get to know your young people, and we were so glad they could join us at it. Then on Thursday, the good news is we did get down to Ganaway, even though it was just for the day. We got the bus down, and we spent the day there getting involved in lots of activities, ziplining, their assault course, which got quite competitive, especially among some leaders and some campers. We got involved in a climbing wall, and we were able to provide your young people with such an experience that we all enjoyed. And you know, something that we really noticed, and this is really great news, is that very few young people didn't do the activities. Most of our young people did every single activity, which is quite unusual, because usually you have quite a few campers who are a bit scared to do one or two activities. And I think, and one of the leaders pointed this out, we think it's because our young people and we as a community have realized that we can't take things for granted anymore. When we're given the opportunity, we don't know when it's going to be the last time we take that opportunity. And I think these young people were so keen to go down the zip line, and actually most of them did it upside down, because they knew that so much has been taken away from them this year, and so they're not going to take anything for granted anymore. So it was great to give them that experience. It was great to see them all so confident to do everything. And then on the last day, on Friday night, we brought them all to Let's Go Hydro, which is basically a huge inflatable assault course on a lake in Carrie Duff. So we all got our wetsuits, we all got out in the water, and we all had good fun going down the slides and jumping off big inflatable things really high in the air. It was really good fun, and it was great. And so thank you again to all of you who sent your young people there to be with us this week. We loved getting to know them. Thank you to all of you young people who joined us. You have been fantastic all week, and thank you especially to the leaders who made it all possible and who we have such a bright future with in Railway Street. But just before our Ghana Home programme, we had other exciting things going on. We had two summer teams. Usually we have a huge summer team that goes to Romania in the summer. That's why they're all in shorts and everything. But do you know, one of the great privileges of this role is like working with our leaders. And I know I've said thank you to all our leaders before, but I mean, it's such a privilege to be able to be faced with the problem every year of choosing only four people to lead our Exodus teams. And Ben and Katie and Dan and Jess have done such a fantastic job with our teams, not just this year, but also last year with the help of Paddy Hunter, who's up in the gallery just back from another team that he's led. And so we as a congregation, let's give a round of applause to all of those five people. But finally, as I said, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have one other person that we need to celebrate this morning, and that is Shannon, who's going to come up and join me on the stage. Fantastic. Would you join with me in prayer? And would you stand as we pray for Shannon? And as a church family, we'll pray for Shannon as she moves into this next step. Lord, we thank you for Shannon. We thank you for all of the steps and all of the things you put in place that allowed her to be with us as our church family for the last nearly 2 years. We thank you that you have led her to us, Lord, and we thank you that you're leading her on to Ballylochan, and we're so excited for all that you have in store for her. We thank you for who Shannon is and how generous and kind and how great she is, Lord. We thank you for the relationships that she's built with all of our young people. We thank you for the extra mile she's gone and at every opportunity, Lord. And we thank you for all of the ways you've blessed us by having Shannon with us. We pray that you would help her as she moves on. We pray that you would help her settle in quickly to the congregation. We pray that you'd give her the confidence and courage and take away the fear and anxiety, Lord, as she steps into her first few days, Lord. We pray that Ballylochan would be welcoming to her. And we pray that you would just fill her with wisdom and guidance as she starts her job there, as she knows who to meet, as she knows what to say, as she knows what to avoid, Lord. We pray that you would just help her and guide her in that. And as she said, we do really pray that September for her and her church would be as close to normal as possible, that these programs and all of her ideas would be able to run. We pray that all that she puts on would be blessed. And we just pray that you would be with her and carry her through this next journey, Lord. Amen. Shannon, we have a little gift for you. I've got the hand sanitizer. What did Michael call it? The holy hand sanitizer or something? But yes, this is just from our congregation to you. I'll set it on the floor so that we're all good. And thank you so much, Shannon, for being with us for the last 2 years. And we wish you all the best and are praying for you as you move into your next step. So thank you so much. We're going to join together to sing another song now. We're going to join together to sing How Great Is Our God. So we'll stand and keep our masks on as we sing.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 19, 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost."
Thank you so much, Shannon, for our reading. I'm going to put up some photos on the screens, and I need you to tell me who they are. So shout out, but not too loudly, obviously. But I want you to tell me who you think these people are on the screen. It's an easy game. It's a game we all play in primary school and all, isn't it? So we'll see how good you are at it. So let's put the first image up. Who do you think this is? We'll start with a very, very easy one. Who is this? Katie got it straight away. It is, of course, Justin Bieber. How many thought it was Justin Bieber? We all knew it, didn't we? Yeah, even Michael knew it. So let's look at the next image. It is Justin Bieber. Right, what about the next one then? Who is this? Who's this? Who do we think? Ed Sheeran. Let's see, is it Dylan Bell? No, I'm only joking. It's Ed Sheeran. It's Ed Sheeran. Right. These are all quite easy, so let's see. I think I've put a few hard ones in. Who's the next one? Oh, yes, here we go. This isn't a person. This is a thing. Who is this in their past life or when they were younger? Anyone? No? Come on, someone's bound to know what this is. I say that and I've forgotten what the next image is. No one? No guesses? I've stumped you. No one up there? I think it's a pumpkin seed. Is that right? It's a pumpkin seed. Come on, who did actually know that? Was just too scared. Rebecca and Adam, too scared to shout it out. Right, next image. Who is this? I've forgotten which order these are in, folks, so I know who's coming, but I can't remember which order. Anyone got this? Callum Patterson? No? Anyone? Ben? Cristiano Ronaldo, is it? Is that what you said, or am I giving you the answer? Is it? Next image. It is Cristiano Ronaldo. Fantastic. Right, let's see. I think there's two or three more. Let's see who's next. Oh, easy one for the young ones out there. Who is that? He looks exactly the same. Anyone? Did I hear someone? Yeah? David Walliams. We all know David Walliams, don't we? From The X Factor or something. Something on TV. David Walliams. He writes kids' books. Doesn't he look exactly the same? Just a bit more facial hair. Cool. Let's go for the next one. I think there's two left. Or is this the last one? Right, there's an easy one. What is this when it was younger? Pardon? Need something more specific. Pancake. Is that right? Look at how good this looks. Is there one more, or is that it? Don't go to the next slide if there isn't one more, because it'll give it away a bit. No? Last one? Great. How many of us find that easy? Put your hands up, because it'll wreck the rest of the talk if you don't. Yeah, wasn't it really easy? Absolutely, so easy. Because actually, and maybe not with those photos, because they maybe are a bit smaller and the sun's shining in and stuff, but actually when we look back at photos, isn't it quite easy to see how we've changed? We can look at those people, and some of them, like David Walliams and Ed Sheeran and even the pancake, we can tell what they looked like and how they have changed. But I wonder if it was something else, if I give you something else, would it be just as easy? I wonder if I put a school report on the screen, would we be able to guess who it is? And even if I put your own school report, would you recognize it? Or maybe some emails from years and years ago, would you be able to recognize how you wrote, how you spelled things maybe wrongly? I wonder, would you be able to tell who it was? Sometimes we can look back and look at how we've changed, and it's really, really easy. But I wonder how good we would be at looking to the future. Because it's really easy to look back, isn't it? But sometimes it's really hard to look to the future. And so I've got some images up. These are actually really easy to tell who they are. Let's put the first one up. This is me in the future, apparently. This is, how close do I look to Michael back there? Don't I? This is going to be me in 3 years, folks. Obviously, yeah, that's me. You can still tell it's me. I've lost some hair. But yes, it's me. Let's go for the next one. I did Judah for a laugh, and this is Judah in the future. Let's see, who's the next one here? This is SJ in the future. Actually, on the small screen, you can't really tell, but she's put on a few wrinkles and her hair's a bit different. What about the next one? This is probably the best one. This is Daniel Nelson when he stopped playing hockey. What about that? Daniel, I don't know if he's even in here at the minute or if he's out helping set up or whatever. But this is Daniel Nelson whenever he stopped playing hockey. It's really easy to see things in the past and look at how we've changed, but sometimes we do, if we're honest, find it really hard to look into the future, don't we? We find it hard to focus on the potential of the future. For example, some of our acquaintances recently bought a new house, and they were really excited to show us these pictures of that new house. And all we could think when we looked at this picture, and you might have a similar story, is that is absolutely hideous. That is an absolutely hideous house. I was going to put some photos on the screen, but I didn't want to offend anyone if anyone had their bathroom like this. But sometimes we can look at these things and we think that's a hideous house. The bathroom is lime green everywhere. The living room's falling apart. And we look at it and we think, why are you moving into that? But for our acquaintances, they'd pick this house because they saw the potential in what it could become. While we saw the paint flaking off the living room, they saw the future family living room. They knew where they were going to put things. Where we saw the bathroom that was hideous, they saw the potential of what that would become whenever they had done their work to it. For us, we were focusing on the past. For them, they were focusing on the future. They were focusing on the potential. But often we're the same, aren't we? Often we are the same, where we find it easier to look back and focus on the past or present, and we find it really difficult to look at the future. How often do we spend our time looking back at people or situations or things and not to the future? In today's Bible story that Shannon read for us, it's the story of Zacchaeus. And we see in it that Jesus is someone who doesn't focus so much on the past, and he doesn't focus so much on the present of what's in front of him, but he sees the potential and the future of the people that he meets. We see Jesus look at Zacchaeus and not dwell on his past or his present situation, but he looks at him and knows his potential and future, the potential for change, the potential possibilities that he could achieve after Jesus had stayed at his house. I'm not going to linger too long on the story or too many details, because for a lot of us it will be a familiar story, but for those of you who aren't familiar with it, Zacchaeus wasn't a very liked man in this passage. He was a tax collector, which meant that he probably stole or cheated or was very greedy. He often overcharged the people for their taxes, which meant that he made a profit, an unfair and false profit. And so they didn't really like him. And so he had to climb the tree so he could see Jesus. Obviously, the crowd wouldn't let him through. If they liked him, they would have let him through probably. They would have said, yes, you join us, you come and see too. But obviously, they didn't let him through. So we know that Zacchaeus wasn't really liked. He was greedy. He was a cheat. He probably wasn't someone that the crowd would have expected Jesus to go to. And yet Jesus, he doesn't look at what the crowd are saying. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus, you're a bad man for your past. He doesn't dwell on the past, and he doesn't join in with the crowd in muttering and saying, nah, I want to get as far away from this guy as possible. He goes straight to Zacchaeus because he looks to his future, and he looks to the potential that Zacchaeus hell, that potential that was realized whenever Jesus stayed at his house, this potential that leads the chaos to transformation, to a new life, and to thrive. We see in this story how Jesus focuses on the potential of people to thrive and not on their past or present. And actually, when we look at the rest of the Bible, we see a similar story, don't we? The Bible is full of stories of our God who is more interested in the future of his people than he is in their past or their present. He is a God who focuses on their potential, which leads to all these stories in the Bible. We'll probably be able to think of some where Jesus goes to these people and they respond in bemusement, where God approaches people to do his work and they respond by saying, "No way, not me. I could never do that." Here's some examples. We have Moses. We remember Moses, whose first conversation with God is with the burning bush, and he responds by saying, "Who am I that I should go?" We have Jeremiah, who God approaches, and he is focused on his present. He says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." And then we have Gideon, who we even looked at a few weeks ago, who says, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." These people, when God approaches them, are looking at their past and they're looking at their present, and yet all God sees in them is the potential for their future whenever they choose a life and trust in him. God sees their potential and their future. This week at our Ghana Home program, each morning, as I said, we met in our Beacon sessions and we looked at this idea every morning of thriving. Thriving. Each morning, we looked at how we have a choice to make between simply surviving and thriving. We use the example of playing dodgeball, where you inevitably have these people who play and they stay the whole time right at the back of the hall. They're often cowering behind people, and their main aim for the game is to not get put out. And so it means that they spend the whole game hiding. They never really touch the ball. And while they might be last out and think they're great, they actually haven't contributed anything to their team because they haven't actually thrown a ball in the first place. But then we have these other people, the thrivers, we call them, who are right at the front, who are itching to get hit because they just know they're going to catch the ball instead and get that other person out. Those people who have thrown most of the shots in the game. Those people who are just so keen to get other people out and contribute what they can to the game. Yes, maybe they're out pretty early on, but they've contributed more to their team than the survivors. And so we've looked at these two groups, the survivors and the thrivers. And we asked our campers, which one are you? Are you a survivor or are you a thriver? Maybe for you here this morning, you have heard so often, "I'm just so glad I survived another week of school or of work. I'm so glad I survived that exam. Or if I could just survive to the weekend or to the summer or even to the next paycheck. If I could survive this meeting for the next 10 minutes without falling asleep. If I could survive this job just until something better comes up." I wonder, is that you this morning? But this week we looked at how God, the God we worship, designed us to thrive. He designed us to thrive and not just to survive. We read in the Bible in Psalm 139 how God knitted us together in our mother's womb. He knows our thoughts. He saw our unformed bodies. He has every day planned out perfectly for us. And because of that, we, each one of us here this morning, was designed to thrive. We were designed uniquely for this world, not just to survive until the end of our life, but to thrive. He wants us to prosper and flourish in the areas that we're in because he has planned those days for us. He doesn't just want us to continue to function. He wants us to thrive. So we looked at how we were designed to thrive, and then the next day we looked at how we are called to thrive. We looked at that passage we heard in church a few weeks ago where Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." So he calls us to thrive. not just survive. And then lastly, Shannon led us at looking at how God gives us the hope that enables us to thrive. The hope not just in our future here on earth to thrive, but the hope in the eternity that waits us. Hope in the future in that eternal kingdom that God promises, that there is no more sorrow or tears or suffering. Hope that God is our strength and by our side every step of the way. And that same psalm, it says, he hems us in before and behind. He is with us every step. So we looked at how we were designed to thrive. We were called to thrive. We were given the hope that enables us to thrive. And this morning, we're going to think about how God sees our potential to thrive. How God isn't a God who dwells on our past or our present, but he focuses on our future. He focuses on the potential that we have when we trust him and walk with him. And this isn't based on something that we should be rewarded for. He's not saying you can thrive if you are really good and do all of this stuff and then you'll earn it and then I'll give you it. He has called us to thrive because we are forgiven through Jesus, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. And so because of that, he's far more concerned on our future and our potential than on our past. Just like he wasn't concerned with Zacchaeus' past as a dodgy, greedy, cheating tax collector, or because of his present circumstances in the tree with the crowd muttering around him, but because Jesus knew his potential and knew his future. He knew his future for change and transformation that at the end of the story we read enables Zacchaeus to give back four times the amount. The people were blessed because of Zacchaeus, and Jesus saw that potential as well. Folks, I've spent the last 6.5 years working with our young people here. I actually worked out this week that this year would have been my 8th Ganaway that I've led. This was the best Gana home I've ever been to, but it would have been my 8th Ganaway that we've ever led. And folks, I have seen some of our young people reach potentials that I would never have expected. Some that I'm sure you would never have expected either. Even the parents here would never have expected. I've seen the P1s that started with me in Brownlee when I was taking assemblies. I actually just finished P7 classes with them at the end of June. And so I've seen them grown up. I've seen the first years here when I started moving on to university. And I've seen people change and reach potentials that I never would have imagined because I was focused on their past or their present. And I'm not just talking about literal growth, where wee Ben Nelson was like 2 feet tall when I started, and now he's like 8-foot Goliath. Do you know, but this Ben Nelson, who when I started was more interested in walking on his hands and showing off, and now he's leading our Exodus teams of 7 17-year-olds. Or maybe the BB boy who was too scared to come to every display and did his best to not come to any displays, then becoming one of the most committed company section leaders whenever we met back. Or maybe the person who always, I get the annual call into the Ganaway office to be told off because of something one person always does, and yet that person now, years later, is joining the armed forces. Or maybe the young person in our congregation who failed his 11 plus and didn't do too well in school, who's now a qualified teacher. Maybe the person who is the wee rip in school, who's caught vaping in the toilets, who's always in trouble, and yet on Friday night is the most polite person to me and comes back and says thanks. Folks, I didn't see that potential because I spent so much looking at the past and at the present that I miss it. And we as a church, that's the challenge this morning. Are we going to focus so much on the past and the present and miss out on that potential? So often during these years, we spend too much time looking at the past and the present of our young people, of our congregation, of these people around us. And we've been the crowd in the story, haven't we, that are muttering, why are you choosing them? Why is Jesus going to his house? Does he not know that he has a sinner? We spend time muttering as a congregation, do they not realize that? Did they know that they left that behind? Did they know that they left that place in a mess? Would you look at what they're wearing? Would you look at what they're doing? Were the people in the crowd muttering like the ones at Zacchaeus? And yet Jesus in the story, he sees their potential. He sees Zacchaeus' potential to thrive, to transform, and he focuses on that. Folks, I was struck a few weeks ago whenever I was in the 31, and we've noticed that we've cleared out all of our buildings because we've got work done. And when I walked in, there was this huge stack of Bibles, and I was really struck whenever I came across this Bible. It's not just a big Bible. You won't need to zoom in on it. It's that big. But I came across this Bible, and here's why I was struck. Because this Bible, on the front of it, you'll not see it, but it says, presented to the congregation of the Second Presbyterian Church in Lisburn. Presented to the Second Presbyterian Church in Lisburn. And we didn't actually go and steal this off another church and bring it to Railway Street. The reason it's dedicated to the Second Presbyterian Church in Lisburn is because Railway Street wasn't even a building whenever we got it. This was dedicated to us in 1860, 3 years before the building. So what struck me is someone, James Bolton, B.A. James Bolton saw this group of people meeting in a hayloft somewhere, I think, over that way. He saw a group of people meeting in a hayloft, and he saw the potential that they were going to become a church. Maybe he didn't see that their building would look like this. Maybe he didn't see that it would last, is it nearly 160 years? Someone can figure that out. He maybe didn't see that there would be generations of families meeting here every Sunday. He maybe didn't see all that we have seen, but he surely saw the potential enough to give them the Bible and call them the Second Presbyterian Church in Lisburn far before they had a building and while they were still a church meeting, a group of ragamuffins meeting in a hayloft. That's not John Kelly's words. Those are mine. But folks, here's the challenge this morning. Do we see the potential? Do we look for potential? Do we focus more on potential, or are we the crowd in the story muttering because all we can focus on is the past and the present of those things and those people around us? Are we the crowd muttering, or are we Jesus seeing the potential that he calls us to see? Are we focusing on the future of those people whenever they trust in Jesus? And if we are seeing that potential, are we helping people get into that potential? Are we encouraging people to walk into that potential? Folks, if you're here for the first time this morning, if you're listening online for the first time, if you're just here for the barbecue, you've come on a good Sunday. But if you're here this morning, I have no clue what's going on. This guy is a chaos. It's the first time you've ever met him. You're kind of here, and whenever we're singing, you have no idea what's going on. And you're thinking, well, how do you know that? How do you know God doesn't care about my past? Because the God that I've maybe heard about from other people is so concerned with my sin and my past. How do you know that he focuses more on my future? And here's how I know, because Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He died 2,000 years ago, far before I was ever born, far before any of us were ever born, and yet when he died for us. He died before we could ever make a mistake, died before we could ever sin, and he still died for us. And 3 days later, he rose to eternal life. He is seated at the right hand of the Father so that we can receive eternal life with him as well. Eternal life where we know there's no more sickness or sorrow or pain or crying, where everything is perfect because we're with God. And this morning he's concerned about you spending that eternity with him as well. He's not concerned about a mistake you made in work last week or how you treated someone 5 years ago. He's more concerned about your potential and your future when you trust him, whenever you're forgiven by him, and whenever you walk with him every day. Jesus met Zacchaeus in the tree when he wasn't liked by the crowd. whenever he's been stealing off them, when they're muttering, whenever they know his past and present. He met with him because he saw his future and his potential. And now it's time for us as a church to follow those steps, to be less focused on the past and present, and more focused on the potential and the future. Let me pray. Lord God, you are a great God. You're a great God who is concerned more with our future than our past. Your cross has given us the chance to wipe out those past mistakes. Your cross has given us the chance to receive forgiveness through Jesus. Your cross and resurrection have given us the chance to receive eternal life with you, not because of that present or past, not because of how many followers we have, our money we have, our jobs we have, but because of your promise, because of how you see us through your Son Jesus. And so we thank you. We pray that you would help us as a church to shift our focus to potential and to future rather than to present or to past. Whether that's with our lives or how we view those around us or the situations we find ourselves in or even our church, we pray that you would help us see what you see, help us focus more on our potential than our past. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we're going to join together to sing one more song now, a song that we always sing at our Ganaway, and we sang this week at our Gana Home experience, a song that speaks of Jesus' victory and our hope. And so we'll join together and stand as we sing Living Hope. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.